Time now for the College Football Inquirer with Dan Wetzel.
Play as hard as the insult at the midnight yell. Stand tall and proud as your fake army. Go as fast as your speeding Lamborghinis in a parking garage.
SI's Ross Gellinger.
This old man is just grabbing a hold of you know what, and he's got it, and it's like somebody's got glue on the palm, and he has got it.
And SI's Pat Forty.
Yeah, no, you can't do that. Come on. You cannot send signals through the booty about where to move the chest pieces.
Here's Pat, Russ, and Dan.
All right, welcome to the pod, Race for the Case, week 3. And we welcome Ross back to the show. Ross Dellinger is back with us, so we'll get your picks and all of that. I did want to get to a little news before we get to our picks. There's too much backlog on People's Court. The world needs our rulings.
We are in demand as a judicial body. No doubt about it.
We are not like the Supreme Court that just, well, will we take this case? Actually, we are. Will we take this case or not? This needs to be the rocket docket. We have to get, the world is like, what should we think of this issue?
Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll get to that after. So stick around. The picks may suck, but our rulings are gold, the gold standard.
We are batting a much higher winning percentage on rulings than picks.
Yes, definitely. Let us start with this, though. Not a real surprise to anyone who's listened to us on this, but it appears, and Ross, I'll let you handle most of this, that there the powers that be that wanted to get rid of the NCAA are now saying, yeah, that doesn't make any sense because we would just have to create a new NCAA. And so the likelihood of the true death of the NCAA, while certainly a good talking point and applause line, is unlikely to occur because it's nonsensical. So I think that came out of a summit, AD summit up in D.C. Ross, what do you know about it?
Yeah, the last couple of days, it's kind of an annual thing up here in D.C., about a mile and a half from my house in downtown D.C. About 100 ADs gather, a part of LEAD One, which is kind of the association that all the FBS ADs or most of the FBS ADs are a part of, kind of a membership group. And
political action committee, isn't it?
Yeah. And they
Tom McMillan does not like that phrase. I can tell
you that. Well, they were lobbying on Congress this week.
Yeah.
They were lobbying. Yeah. I have sources in the government. Uh-huh. So I will get to them. But yeah,
I used that phrase. I called them a pack in a story and heard from Tom about that.
So they gather and they take votes and they talk about the future and the state of college athletics. And yes, they do lobby on Capitol Hill. In fact, several ADs stayed over today. They're still here in D.C. and they're meeting this morning, this afternoon with lawmakers, which is kind of normal, but especially nowadays, right, with NIL and you know, it's funny because, and we've talked about this before, I know, but for decades, the NCAA and college administrators have tried to keep out Congress. And now their doors are open, the windows are open, and it's come on in, please help us. So some of them have lingered around. But yesterday at LEAD One was the big topic was FBS governance. And you saw a lot of momentum over the last year, a lot of it coming from a specific place, the Big Ten, wanting FBS to split from the NCAA and be its own entity, its own body. There's been some reporting and buzz about the CFP taking over FBS football because of the most powerful person, I think, in football disagreed with this theory, which is Greg Sankey. I never really thought it would happen or happen in the next few years. And a lot of the SEC ADs feel the same way. Obviously, they're very, very powerful. And lo and behold, it's not happening. You know, I think everybody has kind of wised up in a way and realized if you split from the NCAA, you're going to have to start a new NCAA. And also, by the way, the NCAA, for the most part, are the schools and the administrators that are part of the schools. So they all gather, meet, and that's, you know, the NCAA. I think they realized, they kind of come to their senses and they voted. They had like three options on the table, let's say A, B, and C. And A was, you know, let's let's have a different, streamlined, less bureaucratic FBS governing policymaking board within the NCAA, just FBS only. Option B was split from the NCAA and start a new FBS governance structure. And then C was try to do A and B's a backup plan. And unanimously, I've heard the ADs voted for C. So start with A, and I'm sure that's where it will go. I don't see that being a problem of them creating an FBS-only governing or policy board within the structure of the NCAA.
Yeah, that, I mean, I think we've said on the podcast for years that it doesn't really make sense to break away completely from the NCAA and is unlikely because, yeah, you're just going to create a similar structure. Somebody's got to be the governance. None of the commissioners right now have got it the way they want it, right? They make a lot of the most important decisions, but they leave all the bureaucratic crap to the NCAA. The NCAA is the generic bad guy. And the NCAA is the ineffective police force, which is exactly what they want. You know, somebody to run championships and to enforce rules, but not enforce rules very well because they don't really want to go by the rules.
And enforce rules that, like, you're going to have.
Yeah,
like, right. You know, you're okay,
no matter what.
You can't get a 0.0 on your transcript and remain, you know, I mean, just basic stuff. Who's running the transfer? Who's operating the transfer portal? Who's whatever? Someone's got to run the cross country championships. The one thing the NCAA does, they do that stuff really well. Yep. And most of the people who work at the NCAA are very competent at what they're doing. So yeah. And when you break it, you take on the headache. So when all of a sudden, you know, the weight room isn't as good at the women's Final Four as opposed to the men's Final Four, you can't trot out Mark Emmert to take the pinata shots. It's all of a sudden you.
Yeah.
Right. And they're like, I mean, because things are just going to go wrong on occasion. And so it helps to just, you know, I guarantee you on that deal, no one ever sat there and said, hey, let's make sure the women's Final Four weight room sucks and the men's is good. Nobody thought that didn't come up in a meeting. It just happened. And it was like, oh man, we should have thought of that. But it's very hard to do this. So yeah, the NCAA is not going away. Again, that was an applause line, I felt like, more than anything else. Now, as for the lobbying, I do know that is happening. We have two members of Congress that admit to listening to this podcast, at least privately. One in the House and one in the Senate, and I was tipped off, and it is true. They were approached to meet. Our listeners rejected the meetings. At least if you can trust what a politician says. So I'm not going to out them. I don't want to sway an election. We don't want to, you know, and it's bipartisan. We got one of each side. I don't know. There may be a third in the Senate or a second senator, which scares me that 1/50th of the United States Senate could be listening to this nonsense.
Please do something more valuable with your time.
Yeah. Yes. Like, wait, what? Like, it's really boring in these meetings. Like, I'm like, is that what you guys are listening to? Holy crap. Anyway, but we do have Republican Senator Roger Wicker from Mississippi is reintroducing a NIL bill, apparently, is what he says. Ross, you did you talk to the esteemed senator from Mississippi?
No, there's certain senators, well, most senators are pretty hard to actually get on the phone, but
not our listeners.
I did get a statement. Yeah, it's just kind of expected. You know, all the bills that were introduced, all the NIL bills that were introduced a couple years ago in Congress are just being reintroduced now with a new Congress and whatever coming. So Roger Wicker introduced a bill in 2020, through December 2020. And so this one's fairly similar. It's got a lot of the same characteristics. Look, it's the Republican version of the Booker Blumenthal bill, NIL bill. You know, we talked about it, I know, before, but the Democrats and Republicans can't agree on NIL, shockingly. You know, one side wants a really narrow, just NIL-focused, NCAA-friendly bill. That's the Republicans. The Democrats want a broad bill that encompasses a lot of things and is not at all NCAA friendly. And we've seen Roger Wicker's bill very NCAA friendly. I'll note one thing, and then I'll stop talking about it because I think people don't care as much. But because I don't know that this bill is going to go anywhere like the other nine that have been introduced, and I'm not going anywhere. But it's interesting at Roger Wicker's bill because obviously the administrators in the NCAA have gotten to him and his staff because There are antitrust protections for in two ways in the bill. One is it prevents retroactive NIL. And the other, it says that athletes cannot be deemed employees. Guess what? The two cases the NCAA is fighting right now, the two big court cases, are for retroactive NIL and for athletes being employees. Shocker.
Right, right. Yeah. All right. Yeah, that concludes Washington Minute here on the pod. Or what are they? Crossfire or something. I don't know.
C-SPAN right here,
C-SPAN.
Baby.
C-SPAN. All right. Yeah. Let's pick some games. Let's pick some games. And let's try to get
some right.
We're
getting better, right? We did a little bit better this
no,
last week.
No, I did. I went 2-4. My Michigan plus 50. I mean, Michigan minus 50.5 blew up on a defensive hold late in the fourth quarter. See, and it led Hawaii to get a second chance to score, and I lost the – it's a bad beat. That's the problem with 50. I knew this. You have to play a perfect game. They're on the – I mean, they played everybody. Michigan played 96 players were in the game. There's only 100 numbers. I know they double up. They have double. Yeah. But, I mean, pretty much everyone played, almost had it. So, I pick against me. Pick against
me. This is what – you say that's why 50's betting 50 is a bad number. Betting is a bad idea. Well, I mean, like, we all had Baylor getting 3.5, right, against BYU. And then they proceeded to miss three field goals that could have decided the game one way or the other. Somebody makes a field goal, it's over, and BYU covers, but they go to OT and lose by 6 on a touchdown. Mm. So there you go.
Gambling's horrible. This is why gambling. I'm watching the fourth quarter of the Hawaii Michigan game.
Yeah, of a absolute trampling.
The worst game ever. Yeah, right. So let's get to it. Pat, we will start with you. Cal Bears visiting Notre Dame. Yeah. Fighting Irish are 10.5-point favorites in this game. Cal is 2-0. Notre Dame 0-2. Drew Pine, backup QB with the start now that Tyler Buchner is out for the season. You buying the Irish now?
No, not at 10.5. Absolutely not. I'll take the points there, especially with that hook at 10+. I don't think Cal's very good. I mean, they played UC Davis and UNLV. They won both games. They didn't win by a lot, but Cal can play some defense. Justin Wilcox is a very good defensive coach. What's Notre Dame's problem? Offensive disaster. And now your quarterback is hurt. Tyler Buchner is out. Drew Pine is in. Pine had a good moment in the second half last year against Wisconsin, helping lead Notre Dame, but that was a game they were probably going to win anyway because they were picking the ball off and returning it against Graham Mertz. So I don't think Drew Pine's a great quarterback. I don't think Notre Dame's offense is very good at all. If Cal can cover the tight ends, I don't know where Notre Dame turns for any weapons. So I think this is a relatively close, low-scoring game, and Cal will cover the 10.5.
Does Vegas know something that we don't? Often it does. So, line just seems wild to me. As shaky as a Notre Dame start has been, I mean, I know they're at home and all that, but gosh, it's almost like the line's just begging you to pick the Bears to cover that one. And so, what will I do? I'll pick the Irish. Vegas has to know what they're talking about, right? So I'm going to say Notre Dame covers at home, comes out strong after the three losses in a row to start Marcus Freeman's career and gets this one.
Sean?
I think I'm taking the Irish as well to cover here. I think the rest of the team rallies behind the backup quarterback. Sometimes teams rally when a coach gets fired. So maybe in this instance, Marcus Freeman gets the guys fired up and they come out and they just stomp out Cal. So I'm taking Notre Dame to cover.
This is a wild line, and I'm now seeing it's 11. We'll take it at 10.5 because that's what we had on our thing. But it's now 11, Notre Dame. So I'm taking Cal. Here's why. I think that we have no body of work on the coaching style of Marcus Freeman, but he seems like an intelligent man. We're going to run the ball. If I'm Notre Dame, I am running the ball. They should have run the ball more against Marshall. I am going to use the sizable line advantage I think they can have. They should have had a Marshall they can have against Cal. A smaller one, run the ball. They don't have great wideouts. They're not taking deep shots. That's a lot of points if you're not going to have a big-time offense. I think they're going to grind this out. I think Notre Dame wins. I just don't I can't give them double digits on this, especially as Pat said with that little hook, man. And if that thing gets to 11 or 12, I don't know. Anyway, that's my pick. So I will take Cal. Number 12, BYU at number 25, Oregon. Oregon is the favorite, giving 3.5. Thoughts on this one? We'll start with you, Ross.
Man, I you know, if this game was at BYU, I feel like I'd have a different feeling. You know, the Cougars look really good against Baylor in a wild game. But at Oregon and the line is pretty tight there. I'll go with the Ducks to cover. I know they didn't look good against Georgia, but no one often does. So give me the Ducks. I don't really feel good about it. I know they got a little tune up for it last week. They played FCS team, didn't they? And they just kind of rolled
Eastern Washington.
Yeah, steamrolled a little bit. So maybe they got some things figured out.
Yeah, I'm going with the Ducks here for that reason. I think they needed a game to get their feet back under them after just getting trucked at Georgia. You know, one thing you do get out of playing a high quality team in the first game, you figure out what your deficiencies are and what you need to work on. They turned around and ran the ball extremely well. I know it was Eastern Washington, but still, they ran the ball up and down the field. And BYU rush defense was not great against Baylor. Like Baylor, I think if Baylor had stuck with the running game a little bit more in the second half, they would have won that game. So I think that you can run the ball against BYU. Oregon has the team to run it. They've got a very good offensive line. They've got some backs now stepping up. Bo Nix has some mobility as well. So I'm taking the Ducks here. Baylor might have put some hurting on BYU too. They just might be a little bit of a beaten up sore team coming into this game. So give me the Ducks.
Sean?
My pick might be a little archaic here because I can't get over that week one game versus Georgia that Oregon had. They just did not look like a complete team by any means. So BYU last week pulled out a really gritty win versus Baylor, and recency effect, I guess, plays a little heavier with me. So I'm going to go with Baylor covering.
BYU. The Pat's bit about the wear and tear is a little of my concern. They went all the way to South Florida, BYU. Then they get Baylor. Now they get at Oregon. But I swore to myself that I would not bet on Bo Nix again. And so the Bo Nix corollary is in play here. I will take BYU. Huge game, by the way, for BYU. If they beat Oregon at Oregon, they then get Wyoming, Utah State. They play Notre Dame, and we don't know what team that's going to be, but that's a much more winnable game than it looked. In Vegas, they get Arkansas to visit in the middle of October. Would be potentially a top 10 matchup. And then they finish with Liberty, East Carolina, at Boise, Utah Tech. Is that what that is? I don't know what that is. Something called Tech, UT Tech.
Oh, yeah, right. Yes. Yeah, new like FCS team.
Wow. Did not know about this. A new team. Okay.
Yeah, and then they changed names or something. I can't remember.
Were they Delta State? Were they Delta State?
They might have been Dixie State.
Dixie. Oh, right. They got rid of, because their logo still has a D in it. So, all right. We'll investigate. And at Stanford. Anyway, like BYU's got this sneaky playoff resume laying there.
Yeah.
So I'm going to take BYU with this. I'll take the points. I am not betting on Bo Nix. I can't do it. Sorry, Bo. I'm sure you're really offended. All right. We've got number 22, Penn State, heading to the Plains for the Orange out at Auburn. Penn State is giving 3. Auburn, home dog.
Yeah. I mean, Auburn as a home dog is very tempting, but I don't think this is a very good Auburn team. I'm going with Penn State. I liked what I saw out of them winning on the road against Purdue. Took a little bit of luck. Game was very much in doubt, but they won the game. And I think Purdue's pretty good. Come back and you beat Ohio. They've got a really impressive freshman running back, Nicholas Singleton. I mean, this guy, I think, is going to be a star. 10 carries, 179 yards against Ohio. I know it's Ohio, but you average 18 yards a carry. You got something going on there. Sean Clifford, you got a 6th-year quarterback taking you in on the road. You're fine with that. I think that they've just got better players and a more solid program right now than Auburn, which is in constant state of flux. It's going to be loud. It's going to be orange. And it's going to be a Penn State win and cover.
Yeah, it's hard to pick against, because isn't that a night game? Is that a night game?
Yep.
It's afternoon, isn't it? I think it's a
3:30.
Oh, it's 3:30. Oh, it's the 3:30.
Oh, no, 3:30. I'm sorry.
CBS game.
3:30. My bad.
Either way, yeah, that place is going to be rocking. It is so hard to pick against Auburn at home. It's such an electric environment. I think maybe we talked about this on the show or on our show at some point. I remember talking about how underrated an Auburn home game is. Their incredible atmosphere. Like, it's awesome. And it's really hard to pick against them at home, but they just don't look good. And I don't have faith in Finley, the quarterback, and they barely pulled it out against San Jose State. The offense just is really struggling. So I'm gonna go with the Nittany Lions to cover the 3. I don't feel good about the road favorite in such a hostile, crazy environment and all that. But I have no faith in Auburn. Speaking of Auburn, let me get this in real quick. I was looking around the room at the ADs at lead one, and lo and behold, across the room was a one Allen Green, who attended the lead one. Yeah, so former Auburn AD Allen Green, who was shown his papers, I guess, a couple of weeks ago. So that was interesting. I suspect that Allen will not be out of the industry long, by the way. I think he's a very sought-after administrator. But anyway, okay, moving on.
Wow, there you go. Like it. Well, he's earning his money.
Yeah.
Earning his money, reporting to work. Sean?
Yeah, I'm going with Penn State here. I think that I would have gone with Auburn had it been a 7 p.m. kickoff or 6:30 kickoff, but 3:30, it doesn't give me the big rocking Auburn Stadium vibes where they just go in a night game, upset a ranked opponent. Like we've seen where they came really close versus Alabama last year at night. So I'm sitting here like, okay, they're doing the orange out to try to counteract Penn State's whole whiteout bit. They got a little bit of energy, but I think it needed to be a night game for them to get that full home field advantage. I'm going Penn State.
Yeah, I have no fear of the building. Penn State it's a great facility, but they just beat Purdue at night. That was rowdy, rowdy as hell. And so, yeah, it's not as big of a stadium, but it was wild. And I think Purdue is good. I think Purdue probably is better than Auburn potentially. So I'm going to take Penn State for the win here and go there. It's just most of you guys made the points. Mississippi State at LSU, two unranked teams with a very interesting kind of, what are we going to make of this season game in the SEC West? Mississippi State is giving 2 points. LSU, home dog. Don't see that too often, especially to Mississippi State. Ross?
Bulldogs, got a cowbell for those who can't see it on video.
can hear it.
Can hear it. Me and my wife, Mississippi State grads. Man, this is another hard one because it's just like the Auburn, it's at an SEC place with a great environment. And this one's at night in Baton Rouge. So almost always I would pick LSU to win a home night game, but not so fast, my friend. I think the Bulldogs go in and win a tight game and cover the 2.5. Will Rogers, quarterback, is playing really well. If he stays healthy, I think this is a State team that can really do surprise some people in the SEC. I really do. And Zach Arnett, defensive coordinator, he's got the Bulldogs playing good on that side of the ball. And as we know, LSU is in a difficult spot right now. They are struggling. I don't know what they were able to get smoothed out against the game against FCS Southern last weekend. But we saw against Florida State that they really struggle. They'll have to lean on the crowd, and it won't shock me if they win. But I'm going to say the Dogs pull it out.
Yeah, I'm going with you. I'm going with Mississippi State there. Leach has gotten it put together, I think, now kind of the way he wants it. Will Rogers, very potent quarterback. They've got plenty of guys to throw to. They're good on defense, good enough certainly against an LSU offense that I don't love. I agree that I just think LSU's still in flux and still trying to figure itself out. And so I'm going with the program that knows what it is and what it wants to be right now. Give me the Dogs to win and cover.
Yeah, my gut is telling me that Brian Kelly is going to have this team ready to play and go out there and get a gritty win versus Mississippi State. But my gut has also got me at 4-8 in the standings. So I'm going to go with Mississippi State to cover here.
Against the old gut.
Yeah, I have to.
I appreciate the honest rebuking of your own gut.
Yeah.
We're now, yeah. This is like, I don't know if any of you guys play golf, but this is like when you play golf this time of year, you start like, you know, you have a fix to all of a sudden you start slicing a little bit, you know, fading a little bit. All right, so you got a fix to that, and then that starts hooking, and then you fix that, the fix to the fix, and then a fix to the third fix, and you're by the end of the season, you're just a total mess. Need to reset. Yeah. So I think that's where Sean already is after 2 weeks. He's talking himself
fixing
out of
the fix.
There we fix go. The fix. The fix of the fix is causing problems. I need to fix the fix the fix. I think Vegas is trying to draw us in with this. Wait, LSU home dog. I'm not falling for it. Will Rogers, Mississippi State. I really liked their win at Arizona. I just, you know, is Arizona great? No, but is that going to be the same environment as LSU? No, but they went on the road and beat a Power 5 team. So I'll take it. I'll take Mississippi State. All right. The late game, right? Number 13, Miami. I'm sorry. 13 Miami Hurricanes at number 24, Texas A&M. Why is Texas A&M ranked? No idea.
Yeah. Haven't done crap.
Exactly. Why are you ranked? Okay. Texas A&M is a 5.5-point home dog. We will see how many insults the Midnight Yell does on the Miami program. There's plenty of material there. We'll take all Midnight Yell videos, by the way, if anyone wants to send them in.
Yes, we will.
We'll take the worst parts of Midnight Yell every week. Pat, I think you're up first on this one. Aggies or Canes?
I'm gonna take the illegitimately ranked Aggies, just because. Look, I'm not impressed by them. I think they're probably an 8-4 team in the making again. But we've seen Miami in this spot several times in recent years. Maybe Mario Cristobal has changed the dynamic quickly, but you know, like when Michigan State went down to South Florida last year and just punked them in the fourth quarter. When Miami, I think, was undefeated and went to Clemson and just got trucked 2 years ago. So I am not believing in Miami until they've actually done it. I will take A&M to cover the number there.
Man, these are some hard games this week to pick. I don't know why specifically, but like every one of them does feel like a toss-up. 5.5 seems like a huge number. I feel like if it was just one or two or something like that, which I feel like it should be. I would maybe pick A&M to cover, but gosh, 5.5 seems big. And so I'm going to pick the Hurricanes to go in there, Mario Cristobal to cover. They did not look great last week against Southern Miss, but of course Texas A&M looked worse against App State. This just feels like a really tight, good game. I've been kind of waiting for this game all offseason. It's the NIL Bowl, right? Two of the biggest NIL most aggressive NIL programs, let's say. One has a single booster doing it. The other has multiple boosters doing it who are all involved probably in gas and oil. So it's the NIL Bowl. Let's give it to the Hurricanes to either lose close or eke out a win.
I think I'm going with Miami here. Texas A&M seems to have a lot of distractions happening this week with the Midnight Yell, and then you have to take that down on a video surfacing of one of their 5-star guys speeding through a parking garage, and that's going on there. So you're having team meetings about things that aren't indicative of the game or the game plan, or Miami have meetings about what's going on in your own program. Whereas I'm not hearing that out of Miami this week. Maybe it just hasn't hit my page on the national landscape, but I don't think Miami seems to be as distracted as Texas A&M. So I'm taking Miami to cover.
There was speeding in a parking garage.
Yeah. People were not happy.
I know that's dangerous, by the way.
It is.
Don't do that. But
no,
it's a new one. Of all the scandals in NCAA history, I never heard of the speeding in a parking garage one.
Yeah, there's a lot of places to speed.
The problem with giving players Porsches and Lamborghinis.
Yeah.
There's a downside to NIL. Yeah. Yeah. Give an 18-year-old a Lamborghini. Guess what's going to happen?
Yeah. If it doesn't get towed, it gets speeded.
Yeah, it gets speeded. All right, this is the fentanyl game. Don't touch it. We know nothing about anybody here.
Right.
Yeah. I am going to take the Aggies. I am going to count on pride. Talent, home crowd, season backed up to the brink, and some pride out of the Aggies. Dangerous. Yep. Play as hard as this is an insult at the midnight yell. Stand tall and proud as your fake army. Go as fast as your speeding Lamborghinis in a parking garage. I didn't know they had parking garages in College Station. I'm going to take the Aggies. I'm terrified of this game, though. Don't bet it. Don't take my recommendation.
The parking garages are the tallest structures in College Station.
No, the stadium. That stadium. Kyle Field is all tall as hell. Okay. No, they got like a tower. They have like a big tower in the middle of campus.
Okay.
There's like some kind of one of those tower, you know. It's probably some sacred place. Yeah, you propose to your girlfriend there. It's like that. Yeah. All right. Lock of the week. We're no better at these than anything else.
Hey, I think Pat, I'm 1-0-1. I'm 1-0-1 with one lock.
Oh, all right. All right.
Crowing about the 1-0-1. That should tell you the situation that we're all in. Lord.
That tells you how bad it is. Yes it does. All right. My lock of the week. I'm going with the team that got me the win last week. Is my lock of the week. USC, hot team, playing extremely well offensively, better than maybe anticipated defensively. Giving 12 to Fresno. Fresno's a good team. Jake Haner's a good quarterback, but coaching turnover there, maybe they're not quite as in sync as they had hoped to be early in the season. They lost to Oregon State last week on the last play of the game, but Oregon State's not as good as USC. USC's much better. Going into the Coliseum, I think you're going to start seeing some buzz building about the Trojans. Coliseum's going to become alive, and USC's going to cover the 12 points against the Bulldogs.
I'm going to go, I'm going to stay in L.A., Pat, and go with South Alabama to cover the 13.5 at UCLA. Bruins haven't looked great. South Alabama under new coach Kane Womack looked pretty good. They've been, you know, they haven't played the stiffest competition, but I don't have faith right now in the Bruins. And despite it being a home game, I'm going to say South Alabama's going to go cross country and give them a tight game. Certainly at least enough to cover 13.5.
Sunbelt mania, baby.
There you go. Keep it going. Keep it going.
Sunbelt Saturday.
Now I'll go on record and say I think James Madison is the best football team in the state of Virginia, but they're not going to be my lock of the week. My lock of the week will be the second best team in the state of Virginia, and that is ODU covering 8.5 versus UVA. They are underdogs. Mm. I think UVA has looked really sloppy. ODU had an awesome upset over Virginia Tech earlier in the season, so I'm taking the Monarchs here to cover that 8.5.
Wow. That you some serious disrespect to Virginia and Virginia Tech in those words there, but I don't blame you. That's more Sun Belt power right there.
All right. The one that interests me most, but I'm not going to pick, is Washington unranked, I believe 3.5-point favorite over ranked Michigan State. Mm. Now, traditionally, Michigan State is 11th. Washington is unranked. I believe the historic numbers overwhelmingly favor the unranked home favorite against a ranked opponent. It has a tremendous record of hitting because Vegas is sitting there saying, we don't trust Michigan State right here.
Right.
We don't care about your AP votes. We're going. My problem with this, I just don't know if Washington's any good. I don't know anything about either of these two teams, so I'm not going to touch that game. But if you're looking for a betting trick, you can research that game. I am going to instead double down, no fear. That's what they call me, no fear. Fearless. I think that's everyone admits. That's me. When they think of me, people are saying.
Many people are saying, yes.
Last week, I got burned 50.5. I'm taking Alabama given 49.5 against Louisiana Monroe. No fear. And I'm going to tell you why.
I know why.
Alabama is not taking this lightly.
No.
Okay, first off, last week's performance was not good enough. Practice must have been hell on earth this week with Nick Saban. You are going to have to come out and prove yourself or you're going to get benched. Like, this is this last week, not acceptable. This was a great result for Alabama last week. He's got their attention and they won. They didn't have to need a loss. Two, Louisiana Monroe beat Nick Saban like 16 years ago or something, 15 years ago when he first started at Alabama. And Nick Saban has not forgotten. He literally mentioned it.
Oh, yeah.
He's this is petty, close to the Tom Brady still complaining that he was a sixth round pick. Like, nobody respects him. So he's jabbed. Then someone asked about quality of opponent in a press conference this week, and Saban went off for 90 seconds. Louisiana Monroe, not as good of an opponent. Who is asking these types of questions? Not smart. That's your opinion on quality of opponent, Saban said. It's not mine. I need that Joey guy to do the, you know. Yeah, I respect all the people that we play. I respect winning and what you have to do to win. Every player should not be focused on who they are playing against relative to the motivation, but every player should want to be the best player they can be. Why would it matter whether we're playing Texas or somebody else? That's how you get good. That's how you develop the right set. That's how you're consistent. He went on and on. You let the opponent determine how you play. You let the score determine how you play. You let they're going to kill him. Yeah. They're going to kill him. So I'm taking Bama 49.5. No fear. Michigan let me down with a late defensive hold. Not the Tide.
I'm telling you, people, if you want some entertainment, I don't know what time that game is. Is that like a noon game, 11 o'clock? Okay. I mean, if it's 49-0 late, tune in and keep Dan Wetzel in your thoughts and prayers.
Oh, no. It'll be 49-0 early in the third quarter. It's whether you get that late touchdown against the deep reserves. But these deep nah. We're going to do this. No fear.
We'll see. Hey, real quick, on the Michigan State-Washington game, something to watch, game within the game. This, we talked about this on Big Ten Network. Jacoby Windman looks like the new transfer portal bomb for Michigan State. They had Kenneth Walker III last year. Jacoby Windman, they get a rush end from UNLV. He's got 5.5 sacks and 4 forced fumbles in 2 games. He's killing people. But you're going up against a Washington offensive line that goes 6'7", 6'6" on one side, 6'7", 6'6" on the other side. Huge, long guys. I'm going to be interested just to watch that matchup, the Washington size against Jacoby Windman's explosiveness coming off the edge.
As mentioned, we have a backlog of people's courts to go through here. Here's a big one, though.
Yeah, clear the docket.
All rise. The Honorable Judge Wetzel, Judge 40, and Judge Dellinger presiding. This is the People's Court.
Here's a big one. Last week at the Utah football game, Rice-Eccles Stadium. Who the hell did Utah play last week? I can't remember. Southern Utah. Two female fans. Here's the New York Post. Two females. First time the New York Post has ever written about Utah football.
This isn't Daily Mail. It's not the Daily Mail.
No, they're busy. I got half a Daily Mail, thankfully. They've been this whole queen thing. Good God.
Yeah, the whole queen thing.
Yeah. I don't care about the queen. I want real news.
Right. They're distracted from the news.
A little distracted in London right now. They got a thing going on. Two female fans are at center of a school police probe. Probably not the right word here. After the pair showed up at a University of Utah football game topless with only body paint covering their chests. The unnamed women were among thousands of fans crammed into Rice-Eccles Stadium. They covered up after a female officer asked them to put on a shirt, according to a university spokesman. But the spokesman said university police are investigating and charges against the duo have not been ruled out. So now we have seen male fans, of course, go topless, paint their bodies and all of this. These two female fans are wearing, it's a little blurred out. I'm not watching anything inappropriate here. This is in the New York Post. They have big, the U, and I guess you can figure out how you'd paint a U on somebody. So it's kind of covering it up. We had, the Post found some disgruntled Utah fans. Malia Johnson, is this literally what our world is coming to? We can't even go to a family-friendly college football game without our kids and family being exposed to nudity. I don't know if Malia had a son, but we'd love to hear a opinion on him. Another one said, we love going to Utah football games, but this should not have happened. University president, there was a statement from the school. Going again, anyone who engages in unsafe or inappropriate conduct will be removed from the premises. All right, so you get the gist. Should female fans be allowed to go topless as long as they paint showing school spirit? Justice 40.
First of all, not surprising that this is not a story coming from BYU in that state. It's coming from Utah. If it was at BYU, holy cow, they would have just like burned down the entire stadium on the spot. Hey, look, I may sound like an old fuddy-duddy here, but I kind of feel like the females should wear a shirt to the football game, okay? You know, like you, in terms of, yes, you're bringing your family or whatever to the stadium. It's not really what you expect to see there. If you're going to, if you take your family to a nude beach, you expect to see stuff like that, not at a football stadium. So I hope they do not charge them with a crime. If they told them to put on their shirts and they put on their shirts, I'm okay with that. But otherwise, I'm going to say, maybe not the body paint for the women.
Okay, Dad. If men can do it, women can do it, huh? Right? Right? Wow. Dan, you know, paint your chest. Everybody paint your chest. I'm all for it.
I mean,
it's the 50th anniversary of Title IX, Pat.
Women's rights, Pat. If we
equal
can do
opportunity,
it.
Yeah.
It seems like a patriarchal rule to me.
Okay.
I you know, like goes to, you have to like modesty so you can get a, you know, a better dowry for your daughter or something. I don't know. Where did this thing emerge?
Oh, yeah, what? Please. Oh, my God.
I'm on the side of equal deal. You go for it. I don't know. I mean, is it that bad? Just look away. Have you seen some of the guys that go without paint?
Yeah,
shirt paint?
Right.
I mean,
correct.
Pictures?
Correct. That's way more offensive than the women. The guys with the hair and the, you know, everything else.
Oh, it's only they got 8-packs and stuff. Yeah, sure. There's a bunch of like Olympic swimmers.
Yeah, that's right. It's a keg, not a 6-pack or 8-pack. Yeah. So
equal rights. Pat is behind the times.
Dad.
All right, we have more. Found this one. This did get sent to us, but I also saw it in a little recommended for you section of the New York Post. I wonder why. It's never real high-end stuff for me. I don't know. A nursing home apologized, quote, "We are very sorry," after they brought in some entertainment for the patrons of the nursing home, many of whom are war veterans. And it turned out the entertainment were exotic dancers.
Jesus.
At a nursing home.
This took place in Vietnam. There's a lot of veterans there, and they brought in apparently for the Moon Festival or something. In an effort to lift residents' spirits, they arranged for the strippers to perform a show.
Unbelievable. This
the photos are
unbelievable.
Absolutely.
The headline, the quote in the headline, "We are very sorry."
First off, okay, the picture, they're clothed, not the Utah fans. These guys are in wheelchairs getting, like, lap dances, I guess. It seems that the patrons are not upset at all. No, they're all lined up. They're clapping. It looks unbelievable.
Oh, my God.
The nursing home has apologized. They did note that the dancer was quote, too enthusiastic and fiery. And there would be, quote, more cautious when planning such events.
God, these photos. Oh my God. This old man is just grabbing a hold of you know what, and he's got it, and he it's like somebody's got glue on the palm.
Where is that? Oh, I see that one. Yeah, that's not.
Yes,
that's
not right. He has got it. And the cut line is incredible. Wow, what a story.
That guy is not apologizing.
No, he had a good old time.
That guy is not the Mooncake Festival.
Yeah. There's some mooncakes there. There's some mooncakes.
Unbelievable.
There. All right. Ross, should the nursing home in Vietnam had apologized for this? Should they have had to?
Well, I mean, I from what I'm looking at the photos, and all I see is men in wheelchairs. Is this a men only? Male only.
I believe it's a veterans home.
It's a veterans home.
It's a state-run facility for retired army personnel.
Okay.
So I don't know if they have female soldiers in Vietnam.
I'm really
down
being,
on my Vietnam army.
I'm really, I guess, a progressive judge here because I'm going to go with sure, fine. Looks like everybody's having a good time in the photos. You know, there's even a woman in the back of the photos. She's got an iPad out and she's filming this old man clutching this woman. I mean, obviously, even the women there are having a great time filming it. So, sure, let it go. You know, man. I don't mean to be the guy that's voting for this, you know, women going around nude and dancing, but it seems like that's what I'm doing today. Didn't expect that to happen today, but here we are. So,
Ross Dellinger, yeah. Pro nudity.
There you go.
It's a dicey one. Yeah, we're trying to improve our ratings. We're going straight.
Thanks, Dan.
Now I'm with you on this one. I this may seem somewhat inconsistent, but no, it's not. It is not inconsistent from me here. First of all, like if you don't want to be there, you wheel your wheelchair down the, you know, back to your room. So it's fine. And yes, I agree. It looks like everybody there is having a good time. As long as the entertainers were paid and entertaining of their own volition. Go get them.
So my wife can obviously hear the discussion right now. She can hear bits and pieces of it. And during this discussion, she just texted me in the side eye emoji. I'm gonna have to do. I have a lot of explaining to do.
Ross is in trouble just for participating in the college football podcast. First off, I don't know that we have forum here. I don't know if this is the jurist. I mean, why are they going to listen to us? I'd like to see the patrons get a little less handsy, but hey, it's the Mooncake Festival. You don't know what's going to go down. Anything's possible. Yeah, that's fine. What the heck? I wouldn't apologize. I would just, you know, I mean, hey, they're definitely happy. They're definitely a happy crew. All right, last one, I promise. And this is from the Daily Mail. They came through for me on one. And this is really about cheating in competition, which college football knows all about. But we have not seen this one. For all the scandals that have rocked the world of elite chess in recent years, I am unaware of them. Rumors that a 19-year-old grandmaster used anal beads and artificial intelligence to beat the world's top player might be the most bizarre.
I would say so.
Man. When the Daily Mail is calling you bizarre, speculation has grown that San Francisco-born Hans Niemann, a relative newcomer to the sport, inserted wireless vibrating beads into his body before his victorious match against world number one grandmaster Magnus Carlsen last week. Chess fans have speculated that an accomplice watching the match on a side used a chess program like artificial intelligence to determine the perfect move and then set an encoded instructions via the vibrations. Niemann has denied it, but critics note that his ELO rating has shot up impossibly in the last year and a half. He previously admitted cheating during an online game when he was 12. His friend would bring up a chess engine on it. All it goes on. I don't know the competitive chess. I wrote a movie about chess once, but I don't know this level. There was none of this in it. would have been a much bigger hit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it would have been a much bigger hit if I had thought of this.
That's right.
But I did not. I don't know the question.
You really picked some good ones today, Dave.
Does anything really go? Is this allowed? Could this ever get to college football? What the hell is this? Is it that important to win a chess match?
Also, isn't chess supposed to be this classic gentlemanly game? I mean, no, this is cheating, man. Oh, this guy, not allowed ever again.
It's a psychopath game.
It's just, not allowed. Not allowed anymore.
It's a psychopath game. I will say, like, I guess I'm happy that it's wireless as opposed to wired anal beads. You know, I mean, like, I don't want to know how that might work otherwise. So, yeah, no, you can't do that. Come on. You cannot send signals through the booty about where to move the chess pieces.
Booty signals.
Yeah. And this guy's rating going, it's like, you know, the guy that hits 6 home runs 1 year and 40 the next year. Okay, we know what's going on there. This is performance enhancing apparatus. So throw the book at him. Life sentence. Right. Ban him from chess. Mm-hmm. Whatever you need to do.
No, yeah, I agree. Absolutely. This is cheating. Okay. This is cheating, man.
But the amount of time it would take to learn the Morse code moves, and how would you know, like, it would seem like you might get it wrong, and then all of a sudden you just, move your queen out to the middle and, like, bang, you're dead.
Yeah, I mean, if it's like, rook to queen 5 or what, I clearly don't know chess, but yeah, I mean, like, what if you get the signal wrong and you move him to queen 4 and all of a sudden you lose
very
the match?
Complicated.
Yeah.
The movie we wrote, we had to have chess experts come in and clean up all of our chess moves.
That's good.
So that the people didn't rip us for being, you know, preposterous chess moves. Neiman denies it. If they want me to strip fully naked, I will do it. No, just go to Utah if you want to do that. I don't care because I know I am clean. I mean, we're taking – they kind of do that in boxing sometimes. So not that part, though.
No. I mean, think about, like, who – what if he didn't do it? Like, somebody just dreamed this up is the scenario. Like, if the guy's innocent –
seems far-fetched.
No, I think he's got something up his rear end that's telling him what to do.
How would you know the, I guess – like. Actually, you could probably do, I mean, there's only so many letters. You could do like, bing, like, I don't know. Hey, I got a plan. I mean, a friend would be totally grossed out by this. Who's the other guy? So many questions. Right. So if you think college football is a dirty business, man, competitive chess.
Clearly.
This pod clearly needs to end.
Off the rails.
Enjoy the games this weekend. Keep sharing us on social media and tell your friends about us and get subscribed because where else are you getting this?
That's right. In addition to our improving handicapping of the games, we're getting better.
We'll see. Let's roll tide. We will talk to you back probably late Sunday, Monday, whatever. We will overreact to everything we see this weekend. Talk to you later.